Coming up next, I'm going to tell you the real reason the American education system is failing. And then we got a new report on which colleges are the best return on investment. And you know we're going to take some of your calls as well. It all starts right now. All right, folks, welcome to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you win at work so you can win at life. These two things must be combined. You were created to fill a unique role. You were needed. You must do it. So let's dive into this. One of the reasons that we have so many Americans and honestly citizens of the world, this is not an American problem, but I'll focus on the American version of the problem, is that our system of education, primarily we're talking about your kindergarten through 12th grade, and again on the American level, but also I'm seeing this globally as well, is that our way of educating, the way we do it, is outdated. It's outdated. And it is creating a way of learning that is then turning into a way of living. I just dropped a bomb on some of you, and if you don't realize what I just said, you understand how heavy that is, what I just said. I believe unequivocally that the way we are learning is changing for the negative, the way we are living. The way we're learning is negatively affecting the way we are living. Let me just give you the next bumper sticker. We are creating test takers, not pathfinders. Kids that become adults who their primary goal is just to learn and regurgitate, to memorize and regurgitate, not to discover and experiment, to try, to discover and do. There's none of that. There's none of that. It's you're coming out of the system and you've been programmed for years and years and years to only focus on learning for memorizing and regurgitating, as opposed to, well, we're going to try something. So let's break this down. There are two major problems that are creating a failing education system. Number one, the way we educate is outdated. Number two, our teachers are burned out. That's what's going on. We have an outdated system, an outdated type of learning, and then we have teachers that are burning out. The very people, first of all, the system is broken. We are teaching kids, oh, hey, memorize and fill out the test. There's nothing inspiring there. And then the very people we rely on to teach them are burned out. They're going, it's broken. Listen to us. Help. That's what they're saying. You don't believe me? I'm so glad for the cynics today. I came prepared. This is an op-ed from the Minneapolis, I believe it's the Star Tribune. Friday was my last day as a high school teacher. This was published January 31st. This is like Krispy Kreme's rolling off the hot now sign. You know what I'm talking about? This is hot. After 15 years of teaching, I'm tired of being tired. I'm just pulling select sentences here from a real teacher. I'm tired of being tired. Sounds like what my mentor Dave Ramsey says a lot. Sick and tired of being sick and tired. Folks, this is a teacher. This is a teacher. COVID teaching will pass, but I realize that some of my greatest stressors in teaching will not. There are massive amounts of overtime, evening and weekend work and stress. It is the system, not me. More focus, better organization, more hours, greater efficiency. None of that would be enough. The National Education Association found 32%, this was last June of 2021. 32% of teachers had considered changing jobs. By November of 2021, the number rose to 48%. Currently, Education Week reports, listen to this, folks, 91% of educators are experiencing high job-related stress. She said, to put things in perspective, I haven't had a heater in my Minnesota classroom for 2 months. She can't get a heater in her classroom in the United States of America. A heater. She goes on to say, you would think that would be my number one stressor. It wasn't even close. She goes on to list some specific changes that are needed in our education system. Here we go. Give teachers more time, respect, and money. Then redesign education. Plan smaller classes and fewer responsibilities. Now look, in those sentences alone, folks, we're starting to get to some common sense solutions. Again, I'm going to be banging on this drum every week. And I want you to hear me. I'm not speaking from my opinion. I am speaking on behalf of teachers. I have read what they're telling me on Instagram when I post about this stuff. I am talking to them on the phone. We got three lined up this week, Alex, the producer. Watch out. Wait till I get done interviewing these teachers. I'm going to be a flamethrower. It's ridiculous. It needs to stop. Parents are frustrated. I post one two-sentence little paragraph, and it goes bananas on Instagram and on social media, on Twitter, Facebook. The sentence, our education system is broken. We are creating test takers, not pathfinders. And it goes bananas. I shared that line in a church, in a mega church in Atlanta a couple weeks ago, and they all started clapping. Not because I'm so pithy, but because this is a problem. What are we, the people, going to do about it? Well, I've already told you what I'm going to do about it. I'm going to dive deeper into the problem and the solutions. But here we go. Here's a list. Make sure you catch this. Give teachers more time to actually do what they're supposed to do. I talk to teachers all the time. You know what they tell me? Ken, we barely have time to instruct. That's the whole reason they're there. They don't have time to do the thing that they were trained to do. Respect them. That means, I'm going to tell you what that means. Stop micromanaging them. Hey, school board members. Hey, county, state, and federal bureaucrats, shut your trap. These teachers know how to instruct. Give them smaller classes, fewer responsibilities outside of teaching the kids. Let me tell you what's going on. You ready? You ready for my, this is my campaign slogan. I ain't running for anything, but let's just say that I'm running for head of the Education Association, by which I would shut it all down the first day. Oh boy, there I went and did it. Less testing, more thinking, more trying. Let me say it again. Less testing, more thinking, more trying. How about we teach a kid like young Ken Coleman Jr., who's terrible in math, the basic concepts of algebra, and then help me see how I'm going to apply it to critical thinking. Who cares how I do on the test? Well, there's a novel idea. It's called common sense. Don't move. Coming up, we're going to go into the news. How are colleges returning on your investment? That's next. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you win at work and at life. The chat room on YouTube, if you're listening to the program, I'm just looking in the chat room here on YouTube. These are folks watching live. Couple comments. Karen said, is this live? Yes, Karen, it is. Hi. This is what I wanted to focus on very briefly. Then we'll get to our latest news story here. Ralph Mendoza says, my kids have had a lot of turnover in their respective schools because teachers are leaving. I'm hearing this every day. And by the way, I'm pro-teacher on this. But it's horrible for these kids. Can't even get subs in. Avataz says, so sad. What is happening to American education? Justin Eller says, I wish education wasn't about the almighty test. It needs to be about the students and bringing forth their best potential. Slow clap for Justin. Justin wins the day. You're right. Karen said, Ken is so wise. I'm going to screenshot that and show that to my kids tonight, my three teenagers. Just kidding. Dorina says, when all of our teachers know higher math and science and can program in at least one computer language, we can redesign education. How do you sympathize with someone who has 3 months off every year? Wow. Dorina, bringing the heat. I think you missed the point, Dorina, but I appreciate you watching the show. What do you think about Montessori schools? I think Montessori schools is the right concept, but I would change Montessori even more. I just am at a point where I think kids need to be in a classroom less time during the day and more thinking, trying, small group interaction. That's how learning takes place. I just think you're sticking kids in a classroom for hours and hours at a time. It's just not the way the human condition was designed. So that's what I think. But more and more, folks, I'm studying. I'm never the education expert, but I am going to bring common sense to this conversation. All right. So let's go. What's going on in the news? Here we go. All right. First headline, Yahoo News, student loans. New report shows which colleges offer the best return on investment. The new report includes a ROI, which is return on investment calculator, that lets you search 3,349 colleges. In addition to the elite universities you'd expect, with a lot of Ivy League schools, which don't pay off. By the way, the Ivy League schools, they pay off. They pay off for the people that are running those things. Go do your own research on the hedge funds. I might pull that up later in the program. I got it right here in my inbox. It'll take me 30 seconds to find it because my inbox looks like my closet. But I'm telling you, the ROI here is not what you think it is. And they got billions of dollars in their slush funds, I like to call it. Endowments, Ken. They're endowments. Oh, spare me. The top colleges, based on the report's full model, include places like Stanford, MIT, and Yale. I mean, you just say those names and your pinky finger starts to just come up a little bit. And you're looking for your little teacup because of Stanford. My voice changes, by the way, when I say MIT, Yale. You know who that is? None of the young people are going to know this. I'm going to, for everybody under the age of 30, I'm going to give you something to YouTube. Go YouTube Thurston Howell from Gilligan's Island and you just heard it. Yeah. Yes, darling. Please bring my tea. It's all that's for. It's all for you to say things like that. Yeah, where'd you go? I went to state school. Where'd you go?
Yeah, so I went to Yale. The Harvard.
Please. Nobody gives a crap. You're the only person that cares. The model of this report and this calculator works by dividing the college earnings premium. All right. This is the pay that students would get after graduating from Harvard. And it divides it by tuition costs. So pay after you graduate divided by tuition costs. Then it takes into account a range of other factors from student debt levels to completion rates, as well as the labor market discrimination many grads will face. Now, one of the people in the study who conducted the study said something that's very important here. One of the things that they're concerned about in their report is making sure that students who have the most to gain from college, this would be women and people of color, are attending worthwhile institutions. This is a good thing here. And that it's protecting students from predatory institutions that may not provide any payoff at all. They want policymakers and student loan distributors to wake up and make better decisions using the data. But here's the problem. Policymakers and student loan distributors don't give a crap about people. All they care about are profits. They care more about their fortunes than your future. Yes, I said that. Politicians don't care about your student loan debt and predatory. They don't care. If they cared, they'd make a change. They don't care. Politicians care about one thing, getting reelected. The federal government loans out around $150 billion annually to college students. Now, the U.S. Department of Education has the authority, I'm going to try to get through this without giggling, to technically punish colleges that have a large number of borrowers who can't repay their debt. The department rarely imposes such penalties. You think? Wah, wah, wah. The Department of Education doesn't care about schools that are racking up students who can't pay their debt back. They don't care. They don't care. They don't care. I'm just going to tell you. Somebody needs to say it. I'll say it. They care more about their fortunes than your futures. That's the fact. All right. Next article, World Economic Forum. Now, this is fun. We had some bad news. Now we got some good news as we talk about alternatives and the way the world is shifting. Democratized education. This is a new alternate reality course to help entrepreneurs succeed. So Wharton Interactive is the organization behind this particular product. It's called Blue Sky Ventures. It is a 60-minute, on-demand, alternate reality course that leads players through a series of decisions and interactions designed to teach them strategies for entrepreneurial success. It's structured to move players methodically and logically through problem solving. Players will also learn about management and leadership along the way. So here's one of the examples. So there's this fictitional character, Thomas Winthrop, who's hyperventilating. This is the opening scene of this game, if you will. He's hyperventilating into a brown paper bag, old school. He's panicking over a presentation that he has to give to the partners in his startup investment firm, which is, of course, called Blue Sky Ventures. He's got nothing. He's having a brain fart, and he needs help. And so the players are basically instructed, they got to come in and help this guy. Now, obviously none of this is real, but the panic-inducing pitch meeting is a real problem that real people face every day. And so this video call that he is preparing for, he's freaking out over, is the opening scene, as I mentioned. And so people have to jump in and help out. Now, this is a direct quote from Sarah Toms, who's the executive director of Wharton Interactive. She says, we want to get the learner into this idea of flow because that's when the brain starts to do that pattern recognition that we want them to take forward and apply in the real world. Did you catch that? They're teaching people how to think and interact with real world problems so that when they get to the real world, they can do something with it. That's not in our current system. And again, I'm speaking personally. My whole brain is dark, as Amanda pointed out last week. I don't know anything about science and math. I'm terrible at it. I don't think well that way. That's my part of my brain doesn't work. Why would you teach a kid like me algebra? Why? Other than to maybe go, all right, when we do this formula, this is going to help you in this way. So there you go, folks. There are alternate ways to learn. We ought to be doing this in our schools. What are we waiting on? We know it's broken. What are we doing? Let's rise up. All right, don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with your calls. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. So if you are in agreement that we've got a major problem with this, I want you to reach out. I don't care if it's a comment. I don't care if it's a question. What do you want me to talk about more of? If you're a teacher and you've got some solutions, you want to keep your opinions confidential, we can do that. I want to hear from you. Ask@kencoleman.com is the email address. Ask@kencoleman.com. Let me hear from you. I want to help. I want to lend my voice to this. There's been a lot of buzz lately about Phil from ZipRecruiter. A lot of thank you Phils going around the internet. Here's what Elisa M said. Phil, you're amazing. You give me the confidence that I need to look for and ultimately land an awesome job. Thank you. That Phil sounds like someone you want in your corner, especially for an easier job search. What job will Phil help you discover? Find out at ZipRecruiter.com. ZipRecruiter.com. By the way, this is a free service to you. It's free. I don't know why you wouldn't sign up for it. I endorse it wholly, and it's free to you. Go, go, go. 844-747-2577 is the number. Is that Aaron in Wilmington, North Carolina? Aaron, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Oh, yes. Hello.
Hi, Aaron. How can I help?
I'm reaching out. I'm currently in a receptionist position at a real estate closing office.
Okay.
I sort of fell into real estate, and it sort of was what kind of came to me for lack of being able to choose another avenue. And I'm sort of trying to figure out how to move forward. I realized that I'm not as interested in sales. I've considered possibly going into mortgage underwriting, mortgage processing, but I kind of like working behind the scenes.
Okay. So how confident are you in a job like that behind the scenes? Do you have ideas, specific ideas? Do you need ideas? How can I help you today? Because there's no question you want to move on. I mean, you're at entry level in the real estate world. So the question is, what are the rungs of the ladder that you'd like to be on or that you need to climb to get to where you want to go? That's what we have to figure out. So how clear, how confident are you about future ideas or specific roles?
Right now I've been looking at licensing, possibly getting an NMLS or something like that to build my skills. And I've been trying to sort of apply online to entry-level mortgage positions, but I think it may be best to possibly email people directly. It seems to...
Yeah. Well, there's a question about that. Yeah, you're playing the job lottery if you're just emailing people. So what is it that you want to do?
I'm really passionate about things like literature and music, but I haven't really been sure about how to sort of monetize that or find a way to really make that into a career, so to speak.
Okay. So I think we have two things going on here. Number one, you need to really get clear. I'm going to give you my Get Clear career assessment because I want you to take it. And I'm going to also give you a copy of my best-selling book that really goes with it. The Get Clear Career Assessment is like your compass. It allows you to see what professional mountaintops you really would be into. And then the book is like your guidebook up the mountain. So I'm going to give you both of those. So it's the Get Clear Career Assessment and then From Paycheck to Purpose. You need to do some work and really figure out what's out there in this space of music and literature. Now, in the meantime, so that's the big picture long term. Okay, you got to do some work on that. And I've got two resources that allow you to do it. But short term, you're stuck and you feel stuck, but you're actually not stuck. And so it comes down to this. If you want to do back end processes, you're already in the real estate field, then you need to go get qualified. And while you're getting qualified, you need to be getting connected. And there's an entire chapter in From Paycheck to Purpose on getting connected. And I want you to... I want you to figure this out. Like, who are the people that I know that are in organizations that I want to work for? Do I know anybody directly? If I don't, do I know anybody indirectly? Meaning, do I know somebody from my acquaintances, past coworkers, current coworkers, whatever, 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 who knows somebody over there who could say, hey, let me tell you about Aaron. Aaron submitted his resume online today, but I've got a physical copy, or I can email you a copy right now. I think this guy is worth an interview. Do you understand that very simple but very hustle-filled process?
Definitely. Just sort of reaching out to, you know, all different types of people, getting the word out.
Yes, but personal connections, not emails, not LinkedIn. I mean, listen, I love LinkedIn. LinkedIn is great for information. It's bad for connection. And what I mean by this is if I go to LinkedIn and I see, okay, I know this person, I know that, then I want to go, okay, how do I actually get to them with their real cell phone or real email address? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Definitely. And I just want to say, too, thank you for taking my call. I really enjoy your show and love watching.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you. You got this. Now, folks, let's just boil this down to everybody else. The number one skill set that most people overlook as it relates to moving from here, this is where I am, to here, this is where I want to be, is the skill of connecting. I remember when I was a kid, I don't know if they make these games for kids anymore, but one of my favorite games was called, I think it was called the Match Game. You know, and it came in a little box, and you dump it out, and it's all these little square tiles. And so you'd have two of everything, two giraffes, two elephants, you know, whatever it was. And I remember, I mean, I remember this like it was yesterday. I was a little guy. Some of you are going, you're still a little guy. Hey, that's a little much. But it would be so fun to turn over one tile and go, okay, I just turned over a sheep. And so you'd look at all of them, you go, okay, let me turn this one over. Ah, it's not a sheep, it's a snake. But I remember, snake's there. Folks, we teach very specifically in the book, The Proximity Principle, and then in stage three, Get Connected within the book From Paycheck to Purpose, I unpack, there's a way to do this, and it can be developed into a skill. At first, it's just a lot of apprehension and kind of this, I'm an introvert, Ken. I don't want to go out and knock on doors. Well, that's not what we're talking about. I don't like sending 50 cold emails. Well, great news. That's not how you do it either. But this developing a skill, like when we were little, going, okay, I remember that there was a sheep right here, and this was a snake. And so we begin to look back, and those tiles represent people that we know, whether it be close personal relationships or whether it be an acquaintance. But I remember one time coaching somebody in person who's really stuck on this. He's like, Ken, you don't understand. Like, I really don't know a whole lot of people. I go, okay, all right. I go, okay, let's try this. Do you have kids? And the guy goes, yeah, I got three kids. Oh, great. What do they do? What are their activities? He's like, well, two of my boys play soccer, and then my daughter's involved in dance. I go, oh, great. So give me an idea. Like, how many people would you say are showing up to watch practice? He's like, oh, there's probably 20 parents every practice. I go, okay, what would you say the games? He goes, oh, it's over 100 people sitting in the bleachers at the game. I go, what if you went to practice next week and instead of scrolling through your phone, because this is, by the way, drives me nuts. I'm going to take out two birds with one stone on this rant. You're at your kid's practice, and this is what I see. Get your head out of your freaking phone. That kid's going to be in college before you know it. Watch your kid practice. Talk to him about it. Get out of your phone. I promise you, every youth practice tonight in America. That's one issue. Second issue is, instead of scrolling on your phone, how about when you walk in, you walk into the bleachers and you make eye contact with five or six parents. Hey, how you doing? Hey, I'm Ken. My kid is Chase out there. Who's your kid? Oh, okay, great. Yeah, great. Where do you guys live? Okay, great. Where do they go to school? Oh, that's great. Oh, so what do you do for a living? Now, watch what just happened. Three questions all about them. People love to talk about themselves. It doesn't have to be awkward. Just ask questions about them. How long you been doing that? Oh, great. Where do you work? No kidding. Here's my point. It's the match game. Every time we have a conversation, we are turning over a tile. And you never know. It might not lead to anything, but it might just lead to something. I'm telling you, folks, connections are the keys that unlock the doors to opportunity. Start connecting. Don't go anywhere. Coming up, more of your calls next. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. We're helping you win at work so you can win at life. Think about the amount of time you'll spend at work, or you do spend at work. And if it's not something that you are really good at, that you really love, that is allowing you to produce results that matter to you, well, you're not on purpose in your work, and that's going to eventually catch up to you. And that's going to affect your mental health, your emotional health. And you're going to drag that stuff home with you. Come on, folks, you know it matters. 844-747-2577. Very quick plug. We have a tremendous amount of free and then resources that you can buy at kencoleman.com. And it's new. If this discussion is new to you and you're new to the show, go kick the tires. We have a lot of resources that'll help you there. 844-747-2577. Coming up for our viewing audience, we have a bonus segment every show. And we are going to be in the chat room exclusively. We've got people over there right now that are firing out comments. So in the chat room, if you've got a question or you've got a comment you want me to weigh in on, let's go. I'll get to that in our last segment of the show. But now we go back to the phones. Jill is joining us in Minneapolis. Jill, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you, Jill. What's going on?
Yeah, so I'm a recent graduate from 2020. Didn't really know what I wanted to do at the end of graduation, plus COVID. Now that I've kind of jumped into a couple of careers, I think I would like to go into project management.
Okay.
But I'm not really sure how to even get there, being I'm younger and I don't know what I want to specialize in.
That doesn't matter. If you know that you want to go into project management, figuring out the specialization, that will take care of itself by getting qualified, okay, to actually get project management jobs. And then as you get in and you begin to get experience and you begin to see the lay of the land, then you'll know, oh, I want to specialize over here. So I got great news for you. You don't have to worry about specialization within project management right now. In fact, being right out of college and young, my advice to you is to not specialize early on, but to get a lot of different training and disciplines within the project management space. Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so what are we worried about technically speaking now? What qualifications do you need? Have you done your research to look into this?
Yeah, I learned that I should probably get my PMP, which I am motivated. I can definitely do that. But yeah, I just didn't really know where to even start, to like start with the project coordinator position, or can I even start there?
Okay.
So, so that was my concern.
Yeah, let's break that down. This is great. You're asking the right questions. First things first, getting a PMP is good. It's not necessary to get in. So if you're looking at time and money, which you should be, right, to get qualified,
yeah,
getting a PMP is not something that you need to get a job. Okay. Just getting basic course and getting basic training, which, by the way, we I'm going to give you the information. Can we give it to her? Folks, you're so good. Thank you, Alex. Because what I was stumbling with, Jill, is I was going, wait a second. We have already, we have open enrollment right now in Ramsey Academy project management course. It's a fabulous course. It's $500 for everybody else. You get it for free today, Jill.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much.
You bet. I love giving away Dave's money. I have the spiritual gift of it. And but no, I'm teaching the course along with Brendan Wojcko, who is our chief technology officer. So Brendan leads all of our project managers. So he understands the hiring, the qualifications, the training. So let's get you started with that. Okay.
Okay.
But in that course, I just recorded that course last week. And I remember looking at the very camera that I'm looking at now going, listen, PMP is great. It's not necessary to get in. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to practice the proximity principle. Have you ever heard me talk about this on the show?
Lots, yes.
Oh, good. It means that you got to get around some project managers in your area that are successful. This is coffee, could be a Zoom call, could be lunch, could be a phone call, whatever. But I want you to talk to a minimum of three. Okay. I want you to get their opinions, not because you're going to feel the pressure to do everything they tell you, but because they're going to have some very good insight into maybe some of the paths that you could go. I want you to think of this as a college term paper. You got me?
Yes.
You're fresh out of college. So yes, your muscles are still limber in this. So get after it. Let's do some research. Let's figure out multiple paths, multiple answers on best place to get qualified. And then I want you looking for jobs right now. Because entry-level project management, that's a great way for you to get in. And I would do it. But hang on the line. We're going to get you started with the first ever Ramsey Academy project management course. Oh, it's free for Jill. Don't move. More of the show coming up. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you win at work and at life. Now, I just helped our last caller, Jill, by giving her free tuition to our project management course. And folks, this is a hot, hot professional lane to be in. It's one of the fastest growing skills worldwide. In fact, economists are saying that project management is going to grow by 33% through 2027. So as I told you, we announced last week, we are accepting applications to our first ever Project Management 101 course. I'm teaching alongside Ramsey Chief Technology Officer Brendan Wojcko. Very smart guy. And he leads all of our project managers here at Ramsey. Spots are limited. We are cutting it off at a certain point, but we are taking a bunch of applications. So get in. And can I give you a helpful hint? When you fill in your application, say, I am an avid listener of Ken Coleman. I think he's the wisest, most handsome person on the planet. Maybe it'll help. No, I kid. Drop the wisest and handsome line, but do tell him you listen to the show and that you really want to take it. We'll see if that helps. I don't know if it's going to help at all. I'll see if I can talk to the people over there. RamseySolutions.com/project. RamseySolutions.com/project. Remember, in our next segment, for our viewing audience only, we're going straight to the chat room. I got to call out Michael Bryant. This is a little tease. Michael just owned it that he got his book, got the From Paycheck to Purpose book, my latest best-selling book. Got it on day one, still hasn't read it. Michael, what's wrong with you, man? I kid. It's fine. I'm glad you bought it. I don't want it to turn into a coaster, though. Read it, man. It'll help you. No, I'm kidding, Michael. You're awesome. Love the honesty. So we'll get to your questions and comments in the chat room. If you're feeling a little saucy, a little salty today, and you want me to comment on your comment, fire away in the chat room. Doesn't mean I'm going to get to it, but we'll see. All right. Let's get to Evan in Elkhart, Indiana. By the way, Elkhart, one of my favorite towns to say. Joe has been with me a long time. There's certain, I love Walla Walla, Washington. I like Sheboygan, and I like Elkhart. It's fun to say for me. I don't know why. Evan, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. How you doing?
I'm living the dream. What are you doing?
Good. Well, just got off work. Figured I'd give the show a call. I got a little bit of career advice. Didn't know if you could help with.
All right. Let's try. What's up?
Well, I just graduated from Liberty University about last May, May of 21, with my bachelor's in biblical and theological studies.
Okay.
No debt. Married, working in an RV factory, just saving our money, my wife and I are. And I'm curious what your stance would be on me pursuing a master's in divinity degree for religious studies, of course.
Okay. So why would you get a master's? You don't have to convince me, but if you were to choose that option, why do you think that might be good for you? Where would you use that?
The reason I think I would... it would be beneficial for me to get an MDiv would be, number one, that I can cash flow it. Number two, that I think some of the skills I would learn there, I could only learn there to the best of my ability, such as Hebrew and Greek. I don't know how I learn a dead language on my own.
That's fair. But what are we going to do with this?
Well, I would hopefully like to take the skills I would learn there, like preaching, Bible teaching, church counseling, how to manage church finances, how to deal with some tough issues in Scripture, using the biblical languages to lead a church one day.
So to be a senior pastor?
Potentially. I'm open to whatever the Lord has in my life, whether that's
good for you.
Small-town pastor or it's a missionary in the Middle East. I don't care.
Fantastic. In every scenario you gave me for the future, you do not need an MDiv to be able to do that.
Okay.
You do not need it. Understand the operating word and what I'm saying is need.
Right.
You don't need an MDiv to be a missionary. You don't need an MDiv, Master Divinity. Sorry, I'm doing some church speak. I just realized. Yeah, thank you very much, everybody in the booth. Appreciate that. Ken, the Baptist preacher's kid, went into full church speak there. You don't need a master's degree in divinity to do any of those things. So I have a two-part question that is the ultimate filter on should I get a degree of any level. You ready?
Sure.
Is it the only way to do what I want to do? I've established that it is not. Is it the best way? Second part question is it the best way to do what you want to do? And I'm going to tell you that it's neither. I've got to know But that's your question to answer. But my answer is no to both. It's not the only way for you to be a pastor, a missionary, or a senior church leader, and it is not the best way. Here's why. While I agree with you that having somebody teach you Greek and Hebrew would be easier than you learning it on your own, can I also tell you that I'm a pastor's son. My father was in ministry for 47 years, preached three times a week, 47 years, and many times he would drop a Greek word or the Hebrew, but that's all available via studies and commentaries. You don't have to speak it to illustrate it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Let me give you an example. All right. The team is sick and tired of hearing me say this. Damon, the boss, the suit, my brand leader, he's in the control room today with his shiny head. And he's so sick of me saying, does everybody know the Latin word, the root word for passion in the Latin? It's pati. I've said it a million times. He's sick of me saying it. But I don't know Latin, but I looked it up. But it sounds really good right when I say it on stage. Wait, the root word in the Latin of passion is pati, which means to suffer. Don't I sound very smart right now?
Kind of. Depends how you want to look at it.
I love your honesty. But my point is made. You don't have to speak it fluently to be able to teach from it.
Sure.
So I would save the money. I would save the money. Me personally.
What if I could get it paid for 100%?
I still wouldn't do it.
Okay.
Now, here's why.
Because
there are things I could cash flow. I could cash flow a $5,000 grill. I don't need a $5,000 grill. So, again, I know it sounds, and here's what I want you to hear me say. I'm not telling you you're wrong, Evan, but you called me to ask me, and my personal process is, even though I can afford it or cash flow it, if I don't need it, now, there's a difference between need and want. And if you decide that you want it, Evan, and we know you can cash flow it, then go for it. I'm not telling you you're wrong. I want to make sure you understand the difference between my opinion and what I would do versus what's right or wrong. Make sense?
Right. No, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
I don't think it's
wrong. Think there would be a better uses of my time, in other words?
100%.
Because that'd probably be a 3 to 6 year commitment, depending on how fast I do it.
Yeah. I'd rather you be working in a church. I would rather you be reading books, and all the time you would spend on a master's in divinity, I would be reading Charles Haddon Spurgeon. I would be reading the great preachers and how do they preach on the biggest topics in the Bible. And you can do studies on the Greek and the Latin and some of the words and, you know, what was the Greek for, you know, pick your phrase in the Bible and go. I just think when you get into preaching, your personal passion around the topic of preaching, you're going to go do your research on the Greek and Latin and all that kind of stuff. And I just think to spend 3 to 6 years and thousands of dollars on it, I just don't think you need it. I think you'd be better served getting in on a staff, beginning to preach, learn the art of preaching. I'm reading books on preaching. That's what I would be doing. I'd be listening to podcasts. And let me tell you something else I would do if I were you. I'd find out who your favorite preachers are. And I'd watch their messages online, and I would just digest them. I think you'll learn more from that than you will in any MDiv class. And oh boy, if you're watching, I'm not saying an MDiv isn't worth it. I'm just saying if you want to do it and you can cash flow it, do it. I personally wouldn't. I think we get too much learning and not enough doing. I mean, I want people to understand where I'm coming from on this. I think he's better served watching great preachers, reading the sermons of the greats. I just mentioned Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the prince of preachers. I'd be reading his sermons. He's got books on preaching. That's what I would be doing. I would be learning by digesting and then trying. Oh, by the way, that's my philosophy on education as well. Get these kids out of the freaking textbooks. Give them a concept. Teach them. Let them process it. Let them try it. Let them think about it. Let them talk about it. Ugh. Stop with all the tests. Can you tell I've been traumatized? Uh-oh. We'll save that for later. Hey, for our listening audience, I got to get out of here. You matter. You do have what it takes. For our viewing audience, hang on. We're going to the chat room next. This is the Ken Coleman Show.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
Hey, folks, I want to make sure you check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts like The Rachel Cruze Show.
Hey, guys, it's Rachel Cruze, and I'm so excited to tell you about my podcast. A lot of people are living paycheck to paycheck. They're in debt. They don't even know where to begin, but they have this need, this want to get in control of their money. And if that's you, you have come to the right spot. So in each episode, you're going to get a ton of inspiration and practical advice. If you've not subscribed to The Rachel Cruze Show podcast, make sure you do it today.
To hear full episodes, search Rachel Cruze wherever you listen to podcasts or go to rachelcruze.com.